From New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a lot to share today. We're going to talk about health and healing, brand new information, always some good quality sources, then a series of short issues from the environment. Who should we believe when they're telling us we have a problem versus, no, we don't have a problem? And also, I'm going to do a little exposing today of some of the people who are out there trying to help people, we're told, from suicide. But is it about the money they earn, or is it really about helping people get off medications which frequently cause suicidal ideation? We have an investigation into that. Also, we're going to look at something that is not discussed but should be in an open forum. Do we really represent a beacon of democracy, freedom, and liberation of ideals? Some will say yes. Some will say that we are remarkable in that. Others will say, hold on, let's take an honest, authentic look at the history of America's record since 1945. Well, we're going to do that today, and Paul Street has given us some statistics. We have verified them. I'll share them. We have some audio clips, one by Amy Martin on McDonald's, the hamburger company, and we'll share the latest on that. And then our new brand new phone system is now in as of 10 minutes ago. Hopefully it's doesn't have anything more that needs to be done, so we will be opening the lines later in today's program for talkback. Tomorrow's show, we'll be looking back at this year and what we've learned and looking forward to what we still have to do. There are 100 million of us in the United States, meaning people who have reevaluated our considerations of where we give our allegiance, our energy, our time. And we are pulling back from those institutions that upon clear examination have betrayed our trust, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And the whole idea of the free market, there's nothing free about it. And we're looking at all of the euphemisms and the feel-good cynicism, and we're saying, let's look at the reality. And so we have now an opportunity to reshape the future and do a lot to make it better for everyone, especially those who have been left out. So that'll be tomorrow. But we begin by a Loma Linda University study on walnuts. And this was presented at Experimental Biology Conference. And they looked at walnuts and said, wow, walnuts are actually good for slowing down the aging process. And they possibly impact the different fat markers in our blood. They can be better for you the older you are. And the study cited a 2-year clinical investigation from a hospital clinic in Barcelona and Loma Linda University. And they said, quote, given walnuts are a high energy food, a prevailing concern has been that their long-term consumption might be associated with weight gain. The preliminary results of our study demonstrated the daily consumption of walnuts for 1 year of a sizable cohort of aging, free-living persons has no adverse effects on body weight. They also showed that the well-known cholesterol-lowering effect of walnuts in the diet works equally well in the elderly and is maintained in the long term. And these are considered the best fats you can put in your body. So that's a good study. So for those of you who've been consuming walnuts or walnut butter, if you have some irritable bowel conditions like diverticulitis, spastic colons, Crohn's disease, you may not want to eat walnuts the way you would normally take a handful and chew them up. Instead, buy a jar of the organic raw walnut butter. Now, it's not butter. It's merely been made creamier by them blending it in a machine. Nothing's taken out. Nothing's eliminated. It's just made more palatable for your digestion. So get the nuts into your system. Pistachios are also very healthy, as are macadamias and almonds. From the People's Pharmacy, there is a question that they raised. As a middle-aged, fair-skinned redhead, this person said, I had several run-ins with precancerous and basal cell cancers. By the way, for those over the age of 40 who've spent some time in the sun, frequently unprotected, you can later in life, in your 50s and on, get precancerous lesions. The most common of these is the squamous cell. This is a very slow-growing one, generally is not terribly difficult to deal with. You go into a dermatologist's office and a skin specialist, and they will frequently numb the area with a local anesthetic and then scoop it out and then burn it. And that way it's gone, its root system is gone, and you don't have any problem. And you don't appreciate how important the skin health is until you get later in life and then start seeing how many of those little aging spots pop up. So we want to protect our skin. But most of these, you get little scaly. They're not actually cancers. They're burned off, and they can be frozen off also. So then the question was from this person, is there anything that can make a difference? And the answer is yes, to reduce the incidence of precancerous cell growth. And in this case, it was 500 milligrams of niacinamide, non-flush niacinamide supplements daily for 1 year. And there was zero reoccurrence of these rough spots on the hands, the neck, the face. And that's really remarkable. Now, non-flush niacinamide for skin cancer prevention is virtually unknown. Normally, it is vitamin C with quercetin. Those would be your two with vitamin D3. So we can add this to that arsenal as well now. Also, I have beehives. I've been tending bees my entire adult life. In fact, I was just thinking about this morning. I have lived on a farm or a ranch upstate New York, down in West Texas, East Texas, and Florida my entire adult life. I also have an apartment in the city, but I enjoy the city when I'm there because of the phenomenal culture and the people. But also, with the type of work I do, with as much thinking that I do in creating and writing, I need alone and quiet time. And I find that being close to nature, the trees, the shrubs, the flowers, animals, it provides that recharging, revibration. In any case, when you have bees, and I do, I never take their honey. I've tasted it, and I want to see if there's different flavors to the honey, like clover and orange blossom, tupelo, wildflower. And what is the difference? Outside of that little tasting of a teaspoon, the gallons that they produce, I leave intact for simple reason. They need it. In fact, in the wintertime, when trees are not pollinating, I take a dish, and it's a deep saucer dish, and I have it mounted on a 8-foot pole, and I go out and I pour a pint of raw honey that came from the hive back in, so they're feeding off their own honey. And because if you don't take a full hive and decap the cones and put some of the honey away, they'll swarm. They'll go elsewhere. This way I had one hive for 31 years. That's a long time to have a hive. And so if we realize that we don't need the honey for consumption, they should be kept with them. And what we want is pollination, because bees pollinate one-third of all of our food supply. Now, insects also help pollinate, and bats pollinate. And right now, 75% of insects are decimated. They're gone. And this was just this year, just in the last 3 months was this made public. Well, think of all the other creatures that rely upon insects for their own survival, including many birds. So when the insects go, the other creatures go as well. But also when bees go, pollination goes. So you want pollination, and you want to have healthy bees. Now, how do you have healthy bees? It's simple. Don't use the nicotinoids, the pesticides that are used, because they alter the DNA of bees. They alter their immune system. They make them very susceptible to disease, and there's massive die-offs. In many hives, as many as 50% of the entire hives are gone. Now, a hive can have between 20,000 and 50,000 bees in it. So just imagine half of those gone in one season. Now you restock, and the next year, another 50% go. And you restock, and another year, 50% go. They're doing it all wrong. Not surprising. One of the most prolific users of bees are the almond orchards of California, Central Valley. That's where most of the almonds in America come from. Well, if you take a bee on a long trip, now mind you, when it's on these trips, it's in their enclosure, in their hives, and that's wrapped in tarpons, and that's frequently taken through very harsh weather, and you get them out there, and they're giving them sugar water. They're giving them glucose solutions. And then the bee doesn't have a strong immune system, and so massive die-offs. Well, why don't you pollinate your own bees out there? But they're not. So the stress upon the bee frequently shortens the bee's life. Anyhow, I share this with you because everything that we could possibly do wrong with farming and bees and pesticides and fertilizers and every single thing we're doing is wrong. There's nothing that we do right. Nothing. Zero. Now, how could an entire industry and all governmental agencies like the USDA and all the pharmaceutical companies that make these drugs for the animals and the pesticides and the artificial fertilizers and the stores and the Walmarts, everybody's wrong. Nobody is right. And they're destroying everything. They're destroying, if you want to see the consequences, well, the bee die-off is one. That's the neonicotinoids. Taking all the honey from the bees instead of letting them eat their own food, which they need. Then they're planting a monocrop that is genetically engineered and using an artificial fertilizer. That erodes, that goes into the rivers, that goes down the Mississippi and causes massive acidification and die-off with algae blooms. The Three Stooges could get it better. And our entire scientific community, our entire agriculture community, except for the small percentage of organic. Well, guess where Americans' interest is? Organic. Organic is hot through education. People are more educated, want to eat healthier foods. They don't want the pesticides. But some of those educated people are still not educated enough, or let's say disciplined enough in their dietary habits to give up meat. That would be another major quantum step. And we're going to show you what we're going to be doing to help people with an educational program starting in the new year. But in that hive is a substance that the bees use in order to protect the hive. It's called propolis, P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S. And propolis has been used to protect hives from the elements for a long time and from infections. And so the question is, just a simple purpose behind the existence of propolis. It's capable of reinforcing stability and structure and minimizing vibrations and even preventing infections coming from parasites. And besides this, the high-quality compounds in like a Comvita, C-O-M-V-I-T-A, propolis, offer very supportive health benefits. I'll give you a couple. Kills bacteria. Which is one of the reasons when people have a bacterial infection and they ask my advice, I at one of the nutrients I suggest, there are many other, Paldiarco also being very good, is bee propolis. Because bee propolis has really strong antibacterial capabilities when chewed with highly beneficial inside the body. It can help you if you have gum disease, if you have root canal infections. In fact, researchers compared calcium hydroxide with propolis and realized that the latter is simply much more powerful at killing various germs. And in the past, propolis was used in order to deal with flu and colds. And the study just proved that ancient people knew something we did not at the time. Propolis is capable of killing bacteria all throughout your body. So if you have bad bacteria in your intestines, in your joints, it can kill it. It can also lower your blood pressure. Bee propolis is capable of decreasing blood pressure. So we end up with a lower blood pressure. In fact, in tests done in laboratory, it was shown that blood pressure is actively reduced in just 5 days. And modulating blood pressure is a necessity for those in this country and around the world who otherwise might end up having a stroke. And raw honey is also going to help a lot of people because, especially if it's Manuka honey and bee propolis together, it's been able to treat bone disease. Propolis was shown to be able to maintain and build healthy bone tissue. And this is because of caffeic acid. Caffeic, C-A-F-F-E-I-C, acid, which is a phenethyl ester. Now, that's a compound we find in high-quality bee propolis. And high-quality bee propolis generally looks like tar and tastes about as the same. It's really kind of bitter. And the substance is capable of reversing or halting osteolytic bone disease. And bone disease sufferers notice quick benefits with propolis actually being recommended as a treatment in bone-wasting disease, like osteoporosis. It also helps treat allergies. Now, this is highly beneficial for those that fight seasonal allergies, and symptoms can actually be calmed, a fact proven through different studies. And histamine, which is what makes people sneeze, causing runny noses and eyes, well, bee propolis is an antihistamine in this case. It also actively fights cancer. Prostate cancer is often diagnosed in men with a history of having a high-protein diet or having belly fat. Those are two really strong contributing factors. And bee propolis was capable of suppressing cancer cells. So that's important. And also been used to treat food poisoning. It has antimicrobial activity, and therefore when someone has a bug that they picked up somewhere, like Staphylococcus aureus or Enterobacteria faecalis or jejuni, these are all bacteria that we can pick up. Well, propolis is really good at dealing with all of them. Just one propolis tincture bottle is all you need in your home. But I definitely recommend that you have that, just so that you got what you need when you need it. Now, from Kumamoto University in Japan, they found that zinc deficiency, if we just don't have enough of it, and you don't need a lot, 15, 20 milligrams a day, affects the pathology of intractable pulmonary diseases. Now, these obstructive pulmonary diseases, that's a collective term for refractory respiratory diseases with chronic airway inflammation and excessive mucus retention that are accompanied by airway obstruction. And they include chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, that presents with chronic bronchitis or pulmonary emphysema or cystic fibrosis, all of which are intractable and disease characterized by mucus retention and chronic bacterial infections. In fact, if you heard yesterday's program, one of the women on the program, a lawyer from California, had end-stage condition, end-stage emphysema. She was a three-pack smoker per day for about 50 years. And through a friend who lives in New York, who listened to this program regularly, he convinced her to come to a retreat, and she did. And she was, in my opinion, weeks away from death. Oxygen, wheelchair, couldn't hold her head up. And she left. In fact, the most remarkable thing, she left walking 3 miles, no oxygen, no wheelchair, feeling great. And she was sitting around where we were, just finished lunch, and she was talking about her experience because she was leaving the next day. And she said something funny, and she began to laugh. Okay, but it was one of those real deep, hearty laughs where you just can't stop. And everybody was laughing. And this went on for about 4 or 5 minutes. You have asthma, you have emphysema, you can't laugh. You'll start coughing, and mucus will come up. Didn't happen. And she remarked that's the first time she's laughed in years. So what's the answer? The answer is you have to change the medium inside the cell. Now, if you're eating the right foods, having the right functional foods, then you're getting the nutrients necessary to repair the lungs and any other tissue in the body. And living foods are the best example of that. So, especially those people who've smoked, this is important. In fact, I remember I was asked to do a lecture at a PBS station in Los Angeles, and I had just premiered How to Live Forever, and it got a good response. So I went back out to do a lecture, and the place was packed, and a nice group of people, but sitting right in the front, in this, it was a double-sized wheelchair, and there was this plastic hood over it. Just imagine an umbrella that's clear. And you could hear this woman breathing. The problem was she was with her machine, she was breathing so loud it was preventing people from listening. And she had a guy named Tom who was her friend. And Tom saw, I didn't say anything to him, but he saw that, you know, it was hard to hear, so moved her over. And after the lecture, I always spend time answering people's questions. And he came up and he said, is there anything you can think of that can help a person with end-stage emphysema? She's tried everything. She's had all the drugs. I said, why is she in a double-sized wheelchair? Well, she's been taking cortisone and it blows you up like a balloon. And yeah, it does. And also suppresses the immune system, the very thing you need, it suppresses. So I said, well, it depends upon how much of an effort she's capable of making. So he goes over and he's talking, he comes back. Anything that you ask her to do, she's going to do. How do I know that? Well, because I'm going to do it, he says. She's a friend of mine, she's dying, and she can't even walk. And so I said, okay, so I sat down with him and took about an hour and I gave her a protocol. Gave him a protocol. That was it. And then I left. A year goes by. I'm back out there doing Get Healthy Now, which was the first show to ever introduce Dr. Oz on television. He was on one of the 12 panelists I had on. I did 3 programs in a year. How to Live Forever, Get Healthy Now, and For Women Only. And the reason I did them so fast is because I knew that once corporate America and the pharmaceutical industry and the medical community realized I was getting some credibility and attention on PBS, they controlled the local station boards, that would be it. I'd be off because they don't want anyone who challenges them on the air. And it's a simple fact. I didn't take it personally. And I had 3 monster hits, the biggest hit in PBS history up to that point. I don't know if there's been a bigger one since, but it was a monster. So here I am back for Get Healthy Now. And I'm doing a live presentation in the studio, in the Los Angeles studio. And we had volunteers from the local community who was answering the calls. And this woman comes up to me and she says, "Hi, Gary." I said, "Hi." She says, "Remember me?" I said, "I'm sorry, I don't remember you." She says, "Well, I'm the woman who a year ago was near death with end-stage emphysema. And Tom, right there," and pointed, that's Tom. "Tom, my good friend, helped save my life. Everything you talk about it, I'm doing 15 glasses of juice a day. Tom's got probably 2 inches to his arms because he's pressing down on that old champion juicer. But it's working." And she said, "I've never felt better, and I lost all that weight, and I'm off all the meds, and my lungs are clear. There's no disease pathology in my body at all." So I asked her, "Would you be willing to come on camera and say this?" She said, "Yeah." So I went over to the host, and I said, "This is," because we weren't in pitch mode right then. We were watching 20 minutes of show and then 20 minutes of pitching. I said, "Do you want to hear this person's story?" "Yeah." And woman went on the air and told her story. Interesting, that was the last time I was invited on there. People wanted to know what was going on, but the medical community did not. Now, why? It's simple. I'm going to share two things before we go to our break that I hope will help us better understand. No two energies in anything in life can share the same space with equal intensity at the same time. There will always be a dominant energy. Now, we like to think that's not true. We'd like to think we're all equal. Given the same opportunities, we would all have the same outcomes, and that we're all capable of doing the same things, creating the same things. We could all be Leonardo da Vinci's. We could all be Joe Montana's or some of the other great Bart Starr, and throw footballs 80 yards. We can all be as intelligent, insightful, creative. It's not true. We each have our own unique gifts, but they're frequently not cooperative. And that's unfortunate, because more often than not, that's society teaching us that the merits of our success are due to ourselves. That's never true. Never. For anyone to succeed, you have to have cooperation. You may not give them credit. Your ego may be so stunted that you need to show people that you alone did everything. Well, we don't. We couldn't be doing this broadcast if it weren't for the people who have given time. That's a gift. You have to honor that gift. And yet a lot of people don't. They use it like a soapbox, get up and preach. And they don't grow. Their shows never change. Their message never changed. You listen today and you listen 20 years from now, and the message of the Rush Limbaugh's, they're the same. They don't change. Now, they have a right to that. And I don't believe in taking people out there because I disagree with them. If they have an audience that wants to hear them, fine. But when we think, well, surely if someone came up with a better idea, we would use it because it would help the collective whole. Yes, that's a good idea, except it never works. We all use our national parks. They should be the collective for we, everyone. But now, every single administration, starting with Reagan and accelerating, by the way, with Clinton and Gore, started selling off parts of our national parks to special interest groups. Well, that meant that the special interest group and those who supported them was dominant. The policymakers are always dominant. So you can have a good idea. It doesn't mean that it's going to get any attention. And if your idea competes with another idea, it's going to get smashed. I was just today having a question that was asked me by a journalist who I respect, by the way. And this journalist asked, would I take on a challenge? And I said, why me? Why not you? You can do it. No, because these people play dirty and they have trolls and they destroy your reputation and they can smear you, they can lie about you, they can say anything about you. And I'm just one journalist, this person says, and I've seen what they've done to other people. I don't want to take them on. Well, why would you assume I'd want to take them on? Do you think I'm not going to get attacked? I'm attacked every day. Yeah, but you seem to have a little more resiliency and a lot more resources to throw back at them, and I don't. In the process, it brought up something from long ago. Now, it may seem as if this is a digression. It's not. It ties in, as you will see. There is a video up on my website. I'd really like everyone to go there today and see it. It's free. It's on Gary Null YouTube. It's Dr. Kerry Mullis. Dr. Kerry Mullis is simply one of the wisest men I've ever met in science. And he's a cool dude. He had this little house on the beach south of Los Angeles. And I didn't want to just sit at this little dining table. I wanted to go across the street. So we went across the street, and I got the camera guys walking up the beach, and there's Curry, and he's barefoot, blue jeans. We're talking, and he turns and he stops. He said, Gary, he said, do you really think there's a place in this country where there's a group of wise men and women who collectively go there and subvert their own egos to think about what's good for we the people and then bring those ideas forth? There isn't. There never has been. We have wise men and wise women, but we don't have the ability to work cooperatively together. We're imbued with this idea of radical competition. Whoever reaches the golden ring, that's it. Everything else is forgotten. If you lose by 1 point, and if it was 150 and 150 in a basketball game, a national championship, the losers by 1 point be considered no good, and all the attention would go to the winners. And he said, that's true in science also. And you're going to see massive corruption in science. This was 19 years ago, this interview. And why should we pay attention to Kerry Mullis? Because he won the Nobel Prize in chemistry for discovering the PCR, polymerase chain reaction, which is used in AIDS. And yet he was one of the very first, one of the first five, along with Peter Duisberg and David Resnick, all professors, to say that the war on AIDS was wrong, meaning AIDS exists, yes, but how we're fighting it is wrong. They were against AZT because they saw how toxic it was, and they believed that it was because of the money being spread amongst the gay community, not all of it, but those that were willing to say, put time on your side, take drugs, and tens of millions of dollars. But if you were a journalist, including a gay journalist, and you said, hold on, shouldn't there be other options available also? Shouldn't we have freedom of choice? You were destroyed. Charles Ortlieb, the number one gay publication in the world, the New York Native, destroyed. All the top gay journalists, destroyed. John Lawrenson, destroyed, besmirched. And so after the interview, I said, I'm going to send you a copy of the interview. What you have said here could literally destroy your career. I don't want to see that happen. You think about what you've said in this 28-minute interview. And if you feel that this is said at a time that people will not understand it, I'll hold off on bringing it out till we may have a more open society that's willing to look at ideas that are this radical. He said, no. He said, no, I stand behind what I say. I have no fear of these people. So I put it out. And I also quoted him and a lot of other people in an article. And one of the greatest scientists in American history is Peter Duisberg. And I'll tell you who told me he was the smartest guy on the block, the chairman of his department. So when I went to UCLA at Berkeley to interview him, while we were setting up in his lab, I went down the hall to speak with two others, Dr. Stroman and Dr. Bailey, and one was chairman of the Department of Molecular Biology, and I said, do you think it's fair, the attacks against Peter Duisberg by the AIDS establishment? They said, no. Peter is the smartest guy on the block. he knows more about molecular biology and virology and how it impacts the body. And Peter's saying, better pay attention to the drugs and other lifestyle factors, not just the virus. He didn't say the virus didn't exist. He simply said there are other factors that can destroy a person's immune system. And because that was politically incorrect, because no one wanted to blame their lifestyle, they made it all on a virus. And so he said they'll destroy his reputation. Peter's not given any more research grants. He's not invited anywhere to speak. And yet he was the fair-haired man of science in America for the last 20 years. And by the way, he hasn't gotten anything since then. And so what it was, and I said to Stroman, I said, why can't we have two views of a problem? Why can't we have one group saying, take the drugs, as many as you want and as powerful medication as you want, like AZT, you have a right to take them. But why also not let other people take other approaches, more natural approaches? And then over time, we can monitor both and see which one's working, which one's keeping people alive. And Stroman looked at me, and he was a very, very insightful person, very calm, very measured in his words. He said, Gary, we can't have two truths in America. We don't allow it. We never have. What we have is people arguing that their truth should dominate. Look at politics. Look at religion. Look at economics. You can't have an open society and a society that believes in laissez-faire, and then a society that says, shouldn't we also put protections in for all those people who are not going to go out there and engage in casino capitalism? Only one of those two will dominate. Now bring it forward. And what we have today is we have a medical industrial complex that is the most profitable industry in the world. This year, just in the United States, they will earn about $3.4 trillion. And you won't hear a single word about that. They might charge, I just had an article today I was going to present, I'll present it tomorrow. A company bought up a drug and now increased the price 1,400%. You have a drug that in India cost you $2,000 is $100,000 in the United States. Same drug. We did a chart of what a 30-day supply of a generic drug would be, meaning 30 tablets or whatever the daily dose was, at the generic. And then we compared that to the most popular brand selling. And we found a minimum of 3,000% increase to up to 500,000% increase. There were some medications we found that cost under 2 cents to make and cost over $250 at the retail. That's an astronomical markup. It's all about profit. And they don't care if your drugs kill. Vioxx is the best example of that. They knew during a four-year period, according to Dr. Graham at the FDA, who blew the whistle, David Graham, and he said, this is going to increase heart attack and strokes. The evidence in clinical trials proves it. They shut him up. They threatened him at the FDA. The very agency is supposed to protect us. They shut him up. As a result, a minimum of 60,000 Americans died of heart attack and stroke. I went up to Michigan to film a professor of medicine who himself had a heart attack, and I filmed him out in his front yard because he just put a for sale sign because he couldn't afford. He had lost everything. He couldn't practice. And as a result, he had to downsize everything, he said. I said, but didn't it occur to you that you're a professor of medicine, you teach medical students, is all the emphasis upon pharmacology and never questioning? He said, we never question the people once a drug is out, is it safe and effective? We never question it. You can't, because the control of the chairmanships of departments that are paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, they will give $1 million to your department, $2 million to your department, $5 million for research every year. The chairman of your department, they select, and they pay a salary. So where exactly are you allowed to have an opinion that differs with theirs? You can't. And what happens if you find what they're doing is wrong, that you found that it's not safe nor effective? You can't share that. Hence the idea that no two energies can share at the same time. So that said, I can tell you about everything that we can prove scientifically from independent studies can help you. It won't make a difference to the larger medical paradigm. It may make it, and does, to you, but not to the larger medical paradigm. I'll give you a good example of this. In one of the most important historical medical discoveries ever, Dr. Dean Ornish, a person I have an enormous amount of respect for, did a study. Actually did it twice. It was published in The Lancet, and it was published in New England Journal of Medicine, where he took a group of people with heart diseases that would have required medical intervention, stents, coronary bypass, balloon angioplasty, medications. And instead of doing any of that, they were put on a lifestyle modification protocol. Now, I got word of this, and I called him, and he allowed me to come down and film it. You know, I've never showed that film. It just occurred to me, I've got thousands of hours of film that I never showed. I'm gonna find that footage. I'm gonna put it up on YouTube, because I spent 2 days filming, and here were people that you could see from the medical records were reversing their clogged arteries. One guy had 95% clogging of the carotid artery. Reversed that, cleaning up their arteries, healing the epithelial tissue, and his was not what I would consider a radicalized diet. He wasn't using the supplements I would use. I would have a lot more polyphenols going. I'd have, you know, at least 2 pints of pomegranate every day in a person who's got heart disease because of what it does to the heart. He wasn't using what we know now. Now, maybe he was not aware of it. He was using exercise, stress management, and lifestyle, diet. These were historic. In fact, I got a call from PBS, and they said, we're going to have a big debate and a national program. Dean Ornish is on. Do you want to come on? I said, sure. So I went on, and it was just Ornish and I were taking the plant-based approach. All the other doctors weren't. Again, I've never shown that video. I have it in my archives. One of the things I'm going to do for the new year is I'm going to hire an archivist to go through all of my footage that I've ever filmed and select everything that's important, and then I'm going to start streaming it every single day on every topic you could imagine. I probably have 5,000 hours of stuff that'll go up there. That's coming this coming year. In any case, he proved by everything they said you got to do. You have to have a randomized study published in a peer-reviewed journal, presented at a scientific conference of your peers, and something that can be reproducible by other people in the field, all of which was proven. No one changed anything. No one stopped the balloon angioplasty or the coronary bypasses, the stents or the statins, cholesterol-lowering drugs. Everything stayed the same and still has. That was over 20 years ago. So the idea that something better, something more humane, something less expensive, something more efficient, something that is safer, once proven, will replace that which is in power is never going to happen. Power does not acquiesce. It does not cede itself to another system. Paradigms don't change. Individuals can. People can leave a paradigm, but otherwise the paradigm does not change. I'm Gary Nall. Those are just some thoughts about why, when I bring someone on a PBS special who, in their own words, is saying that they reverse congestive heart failure and end-stage emphysema in 1 year with a simple protocol, and why that was such a threat to the medical industrial complex. They can't have that information out. Because what if it's not just one person? What if there are thousands? What if there are hundreds of thousands? What if there are millions of people who, through their lifestyle, have improved their health? that would be a game changer. That could be a paradigm shift, and they're not going to allow that. So hope that answers the issue of why. Because we don't honor pluralities. We don't honor, integrative theorists and practitioners. We don't invite everyone to the table and have everyone put their ideas on the table and then take a look to see which ones make the most sense, which ones have good quality science behind them, which ones can prove there is a better way of doing something. I wish we could, because if we did, it would be a different world today. We'd have a lot less suffering. I'm Gary Null. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Well, I'm going to open up the lines. Hopefully they work. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And here is the question I'd like for you to address, please. We talk about freedom, and yet we do not have freedom of choice in medicine. You don't have freedom of choice when it comes to vaccines in many states, including California. Supposedly a progressive state on freedoms, and yet it's regressive in its body politic. You do not have freedom if you do not want to give your kid chemotherapy if kid has cancer. You could be then deemed a threat to your child, and this has actually happened, and the child taken away and forced into chemotherapy, even if the child dies. Nobody will be held accountable, and you will then have a record. I've actually been a part of these, so I know. And we're told that we have freedom, yet if you want to challenge anything that's institutional in the United States, you have no welcome open forum to challenge it. So we are living with the lie that we are a society that promotes freedom. To the contrary, if you want to be healthy and engage in a healthy lifestyle, for decades you've been ridiculed and mocked as a health nut. If you care about our history of invasiveness in other countries, and that has been the progenitor or laid the bedrock for why people don't like us and would be willing to become terrorists, you're considered a conspiracy theorist, even though it's a historical fact. Your thoughts on so-called freedom in America today. Now, since WBAR sister station was off the air for 6.5 days, we had a lot of people call. They didn't take down the phone number where they could have continued listening to this program every day. So please write down this number. This is to listen live. 424-203-8046. 424-203-8046, or if you just want to listen to an archival show in the evening, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. And I've just been told that we have Max on the line and Luann Panessi. Let's say hello to Max. Hi, Max. Can you hear me, Max?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Excellent.
Max, tell us your story. What has transformed in your life?
I've discovered, again, what my purpose is in life. For a long time, I was going through a stagnancy of being reluctant to accept the capacity I had and the power I had to do good in the world and to honor my own life, to honor my family, and to be the best human being I knew how to be.
What were the conditions you had to overcome? What were your obstacles? Where were you coming from?
I was coming from a place of accepted powerlessness. I was coming from a place of regret over my entire life, of several different spiritual and emotional and even physical knots that I wasn't willing to accept and take responsibility for myself.
Okay, and then you came to a retreat that we had as a fundraiser for our station, WBAI. What did you observe change in you during your stay?
I observed the rewards of being honest with myself. You forced me to take account for things that I wasn't looking at and that I wasn't maybe before willing to accept that I had the ability to change. I changed my daily activity, my willingness to exercise, my ability to see completely the benefits of eating a pure, high-octane, good fuel for my body, and seeing hand-in-hand how that would change my daily experience. And a bigger thing for me is, since I was a young person, I felt really spiritually called to do healing work with others. And seeing the kind of impact that that environment could have on others and the transformation that took place in different people, including myself, and just really being able to observe in person the kind of the detailed accounts you gave of the transformational healing you've done with others, it really opened my heart to want to do, to take my own healing work and my future to a different perspective than just simply the kind of corrupt medicine that you're talking about repeatedly even today. And so to be of a higher use.
I won't mention what you do, but Max works in a hospital. He's a part of the medical profession. And Max has made major transformation. Max, what did you observe in some of the other people in their transformations?
I observed a person who had moderate dementia be able to really regain his ability to harness information and to focus, to regain physical activity levels. I observed in another person who had neurological discoordination through different modalities that were given to her there be able to have much greater coordination. And at a really core level, I saw in both of those individuals and in others the light of hope re-enter their heart and their spirit, where their spirit was infused with a sense that they could take control of their life again. And so much of medicine is just about telling people how they will die. What I saw people, including me, relearn there to be reminded of is how they would live again, Gary.
Well, how can you help how could you help anyone if you're only telling them how to exit life instead of how to regain a sense of life? The purpose of being with other people who are having questions about their life is to give them positive solutions so they can have hope again. Without hope, nothing's going to happen. Do you remember the woman who had advanced multiple sclerosis, who had been in deep depression for 3 years because of it? She was only 20, couldn't stand, couldn't walk without losing her balance, and then she was able to put down her cane and hold her leg in the air for 47 seconds and walk in a straight line, one foot after the other, without losing her balance, first time in 3 years?
Yes, I do.
And the man with advanced Alzheimer's at 93, who was able to start laughing, full body posture up, eyes just burning with inquisition and inquisitiveness, and then also answering every question that was asked before anyone else who had full cognitive functions could answer.
I saw all of it. I saw all of it. And even in myself, at the most simple level, my 7-year-old daughter, she used to call me Sunshine because my teeth were so yellow. After 3 weeks of eating green and red stuff as the totality of my diet, I saw that my teeth had basically leached out all of the toxins in them. So if you're capable of transforming bone tissue at a cellular level that quickly, what can you do to someone's neurologic tissue, to their nervous system, to their heart, with eating a good diet and meditating and exercising vigorously?
Good. Well, I'm glad to see you're continuing with your journey, healthy journey in life. You've lost all that weight. How much weight total have you lost now?
I think I entered there about 200 now. Last time, a few days ago, 165.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Max, continue on your journey because I'm sure you're going to help a lot of your patients. All the best.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Okay. Lou Anne Panessi, we're coming up to the near the end of the show. A lot of people didn't get your number yesterday. For those who would like to join our WBAI fundraiser, our hopefully our last retreat, because a whole lot of new stuff is going to be happening in the new year. But this is the second or third week of April this happening, not the first week. I said it incorrectly. It was first week. It's second or third. Give people your phone number, please.
Surely. It's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. Give me a call. I interview everyone to make sure it's the right event for you.
Okay. So we're gonna take a small group of people on a wonderful journey. And it's not about diagnosing or treating any disease. I don't do that. Rather, it's about discovering the authentic self and multiplying the gifts that you give to yourself when you're happy, healthy, and realize how free you are to use your mind in ways that you may not have used up to this point. I know a lot of people who are very successful in life. That doesn't mean they were successful at honoring their authentic self. And that's why a lot of people come, to try to realign themselves with what they should be doing from this moment forward without regretting what they've done in the past. So hopefully you'll come. Luann, give that number one more time, please.
Surely, 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008.
Good. Now let's go over and say hello to Harry from Boston. Hi, Harry, your turn.
Yeah, hey, hi. Long-time listener, I respect you quite a bit, and you've got valuable information, which I've paid attention to, and I appreciate that. Let me ask you, torn rotator cuff, a rip in my bicep. I was sprinting, and I fell, and how can I remedy that? Help of the law.
It depends upon how severe the rip is. Generally, you have microsurgery, which can reattach the muscle and also can help the rotary cuff. The key is there's where orthodox approaches generally are very successful, but it's the post-recovery, keeping the body strong, helping the body when it's being flooded with cytokines. That's where your black cumin seed oil comes in. Curcumin comes in, cat's claw, ashwagandha, also vitamin C and quercetin and L-carnitine. Some of the things you can read up on, it's in the scientific literature, and the key is speeding up recovery, minimizing infections, minimizing inflammation, and minimizing swelling. And also there are magnets, if there's not pins or metal involved, that can also speed it up. But we're out of time now. I'm sorry, Harry. I will try to address more on injuries and natural ways of recovering from them on an upcoming program. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day now.